to another episode of Demimonde Paranormal Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Tori, from Demimonde Paranormal, a small private supernatural group on Facebook.com. Tonight is going to be kind of a random night, as we have two locations that we're going to be talking about tonight. The first location is located in England, and it would be the Alnwick Castle, and then the other location is all the way in the United States of America. You may know it as the La Laurie Mansion in New Orleans, Louisiana. So join me tonight as we dive in into the dark history of the hauntings that seem to go on in both places tonight. Let's learn of the dark history that led up to these hauntings. And just as a little trigger warning, if you guys are squeamish to blood and violence, I would suggest maybe skipping over the part of the torturous actions that Madame La Laurie has committed when we talk about the La Laurie Mansion. And just take that as a fair warning before we begin. But before we do that, I want to take a minute to ask you guys how you've been. I know it's been a while since we've done a podcast from Demimonde Paranormal. And I hope you guys are doing great. I hope you guys are ready to get spooked again with us again. And, you know, just have a good time, even if you don't get creeped out by these little ghost stories that we share. I hope they're, you know, a fun experience at least. So, without any more jibble jabble, let's get started in tonight's podcast, and whichever location comes up first. I'm kind of playing a game of roulette with it. So let our first section of tonight's episode be a bit of a surprise, and let's find out what we can dig up. Welcome to the first segment of tonight's episode. And for right now, we are going to venture off into New Orleans, and we are going to learn about the atrocities that led to the hauntings of the infamous La Laurie Mansion. Now first, I want to begin by saying Marie Delphine McCarthy, or McCarthy, was a socialite from New Orleans, but she was also a serial killer who tortured and murdered her slaves in her own household. Now, it wasn't brought to light that she was this horrible monster until one fateful night, on the 10th of April in 1834, when rescuers responded to a fire at her Royal Street mansion, and that's where they discovered bound slaves in her attic, who showed evidence of cruel, violent abuse over a long period of time. Madame La Laurie's house was subsequently sacked by an outraged mob of New Orleans citizens, and she and her family had escaped to France. But we'll get more into that after we get into her early life. Delphine La Laurie, or Delphine McCarthy, was born on March 19th, 1787. She was born during the Spanish colonial period. And she was one of five children. Her father was named Louis, and her mother was named Marie. And her father brought the family over from Ireland sometime around 1730 during the French colonial period. Now, both of Delphine's parents were very prominent in the town's European Creole community. Her uncle by marriage, Esteban Rodriguez Mira, was the governor for the Spanish American provinces in Louisiana and Florida from 1875 to 1891. And her cousin, Augustine D. McCarty, was mayor of New Orleans from 1850 to 1820. And this is also very interesting. Delphine was only 4 years old when the Haitian Revolution erupted in 1791. Now, this was something that made slave holders in the southern states of the United States and the Caribbean very afraid of, you know, resistance and rebellion among slaves. Even Delphine's own uncle had been murdered in 1771 by his own slaves during the revolution. And this revolution had inspired the local Mina conspiracy in 1791 and the Pointe Coupee conspiracy in 1794 and the 1811 German Coast Uprising, all of which were caused by many slave owners to abuse slaves even more harshly out of fear of insurrection. So, on June 11th, 1800, at the age of only 13 years old, Delphine met her first husband, Don Ramon, who was a high-ranking Spanish royal officer at the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, Louisiana. Now, in 1804, when the American acquisition was what was then a French territory, Don Ramon had been appointed as the position of Consul General for Spain in the territory of Orleans, which was called to appear in the court of Spain, while en route to Madrid with Delphine, who was pregnant at the time. Don Ramon had suddenly died in Havana. Now, only a few days after his death, Delphine gave birth to his daughter, who was named Marie Borgia Delphine Lopez, who was nicknamed Boquita. The widowed Delphine and her child returned to the New Orleans shortly after that. Again, in June of 1808, Delphine married Jean Blanc, a prominent banker, merchant, lawyer, and legislator. At the time of the marriage, Blanc purchased a house on 409 Royal Street in New Orleans for the family, which then became known later as the Villa Blanc. Delphine had only four children by Blanc, and they were named Marie-Louise Pauline, Louise Marie-Laure, and Marie-Louise Jean, Jean-Pierre Pauline Blanc, and Jean Blanc died in 1806. Interesting, by the third marriage. Now, on to the third marriage. On the 25th of June in 1825, Delphine married her third husband, who was a physician. This is Leonard Louis Louis Leonard Louis Nicholas Lalaurie, sorry y'all that I said Lewis, who was much, much younger than she was. In 1831, she bought a property at 1140 Royal Street, which she managed in her name with little involvement with her husband. In 1832, she had a two-story mansion built there, complete with attached slave quarters. She lived there with her third husband and two daughters and maintained a central position in New Orleans society. The marriage soon showed signs of strain, however, on the 16th of November, 1832, when Delphine petitioned for the First Judicial Court District for a separation from bed and board of her husband, in which Delphine claimed that Lalaurie had treated her in such a manner as to render their living together insupportable. Claims to which her son and two of her daughters by Jean Blanc confirmed. However, the separation didn't seem to be permanent, as Leonard Lalaurie was present at the Royal Street House on April the 10th, 1834, which was the same day as the fire. So now that brings us to the heinous acts of Delphine Lalaurie. In the 1830s, Delphine Lalaurie was suspected of mercilessly torturing the people she enslaved. She restrained them, mutilated them, and subjected them to sick experiments. By the time a fire exposed the horrors of Madame Lalaurie's mansion, it's not well known how many people had died by her hand. Another interesting tidbit that I just found here is that the Lalaurie Mansion story begins in 1831, just about a year before Delphine's marriage started to show signs of trouble. It was in 1831 when a man named Edward sold his unfinished home at 1140 Royal Street to a well-off, pleasant-seeming couple. And that was Dr. Leonard Louis Nicholas Lalaurie and his wife, Delphine, the socialite. Now, as we know, the couple completed the two-story home in the federal architectural style and situated it on the corner of Royal and Hospital, which is now the Governor Nichols Streets in the French Quarter of New Orleans. It's there in this house that Delphine had started to abuse and torture her enslaved workers. It was thought, though, however, she was kind to the enslaved people in public, and she had even freed two of them. She made a life in the mansion a living nightmare. Two people she enslaved even dropped to their deaths from the mansion's rooftop rather than face her brutality. By the extent of Delphine Lalaurie's cruelty, it just remained a rumor until April 10th of 1834, when the fire broke out in the house and revealed the depths of her depravity. When volunteers first arrived at the scene, they encountered a black cook who was chained to the stove. She told them that she had started a fire on purpose in hopes of ending her own life. Things only got worse as they moved through the mansion. To their horror, in the attic above the kitchen, the first responders found a group of imprisoned enslaved people that many have been gruesomely tortured with their bones broken, their eyes gouged out, and worse. How much worse? Well, let's just find out. Even in 1945, accounts of those enslaved by the Lalaurie became more explicit. According to Jean de Levine, when she was writing Ghost Stories of New Orleans, it alleged that Lalaurie had a sadistic appetite that seemed never appeased until she had inflicted on more than one of her black enslaved people in some heinous form of torture, and claimed that those who responded to the 1834 fire had found themselves male slaves starved, naked, chained to the wall, with their eyes gouged out, their fingers pulled out by the roots, and had their joints skinned and festering. Great holes were made in their buttocks, where the flesh had been sliced away, the ears hanging by shreds, and their lips sewn together. Even intestines were pulled out and knotted around naked waists. There were holes in skulls where a rough stick had been inserted to stir the brains. Now, apparently, these are just claims made by Jean de Levine, but it has no actual primary sources to give any credibility to these claims. Seven slaves or more were less horribly mutilated, and more was seen suspended by the neck, with their limbs apparently stretched and torn from one extremity to the other. They have been confined by her for several months, and they had been merely kept in existence to prolong their suffering. Following the fire at Lalaurie Mansion, the house embarked on an uneasy, erratic journey. After lingering in ruins, it was made into an integrated school, a conservatory for music, a home for the homeless, and at one point it was partitioned into apartments, but eventually it fell into private hands, and no one ever seemed to own the house for long. One owner apparently ended up in an asylum. Another fell into a coma. Even actor Nicolas Cage, who briefly owned the house, lost it to foreclosure in 2009. Nick Cage said that he bought it in 2007, and he figured that it would be a good place to write a great American novel. But he also said that he didn't get too far with that novel. According to local lore, there's a reason that no one owned the house for very long. Although Delphine Lalaurie has been long dead, it's said that her horrific crimes made Lalaurie Mansion a deeply haunted house. Now, even though Lalaurie Mansion changed hands many, many times over the years, many who had ventured inside had a strange paranormal experience. Now, people have reported hearing tortured shrieks and moans coming from within, and some have smelled burning flesh or heard the dragging of chains. Others say that they have seen actual ghosts, whether that be a large black man in chains or a white woman with glaring eyes. Apparently, some of these ghosts, especially the woman, is believed to be Madame Lalaurie herself, and especially these ghosts are violent. When the house was a school, young girls allegedly encountered a woman who would grab their arms, leaving scratches and bruises on their skin. Other ghosts, however, seem more friendly, or even playful. One medium who visited the house suggested that much of its evil has dissipated, leaving its ghost to wander freely without fear of their former mistress. And that is the story behind the infamous Lollaree Mansion. I hope you guys enjoyed that, and I hope to see you guys in the next section when we talk about the haunted Alnwick Castle. But this castle has not only ghosts, but it also has a vampire. So I hope you guys will join me for the second segment, the Alnwick Castle. Welcome everybody to our second and final segment of tonight's episode. Right now, we are going to a castle in Alnwick, England. And this castle, y'all, served as the seat of the 12th Duke of Northumberland. And it was built following the Norman Conquest. And also, it's been renovated and remodeled, naturally, a number of times. So, let's dive right into Alnwick Castle. Alnwick Castle resides in Northumberland, England, and serves as a home to the Percy family, including the current 12th Duke of Northumberland. The grand spectacle of the castle has been referred to as the Windsor of the North. Not only did the castle accommodate residents including Harry Hotspur, but it also played a crucial role in shaping the history of England, including border wars with Scotland and the Wars of the Roses. In the modern times, in today's world, Alnwick Castle has been featured in several movies, such as Beckett and Harry Potter even. But naturally, Alnwick Castle hides a dark secret. It was said by the 12th century chronicler William of Newburgh, who was now a deceased master, the castle would rise from his tomb during the hours of darkness to prowl in the streets of town. Local priests would tell of how his body left such a stench of death that pestilence would break out. Local villagers blamed the vampire for the outbreak of plague and set out to end the misery. William wrote in the Newburgh Priory, they armed themselves therefore with sharp spades and betaking themselves into the cemetery. They began to dig, and whilst there they thought they would have to dig much deeper. They came upon the body covered with but a thin layer of earth. It was gorged swollen with a frightful corpulence. The men struck the body with a spade, and from the wound poured fresh blood, proving it was the vampire. The body was then taken from the castle grounds and burned to ashes, after which the pestilence ended. On frequent occasions, many people have spotted the ghost of the Grey Lady walking in tunnels deep below the castle. She is presumed to be the ghost of a young teenage girl from Victorian times who was a maid at the castle. According to legend, she accidentally fell upon a chute to the castles below one day while working in one of the kitchens. Purportedly, the dumbwaiter was rising and lowering food between levels and also broke and fell on top of her, crushing the poor young girl to death. To this day, her spirit roams the dark corridors and passages hidden below the castle. Needless to say, many considered Alnwick Castle to be one of the most haunted places in England. However, another legend surrounding Alnwick Castle goes like this. Legend has it that it was a man who served the Lord of Alnwick Castle who suspected his wife of having an affair. Now, as he was aiming to catch his wife in the act, he climbed onto the roof of the dwelling and fell to his death after breaking his neck. Now, despite being buried, the man was spotted around the town, and that's when illnesses spread and livestock began dying. The locals naturally suspected the man, so they dug up his corpse and they found it engorged with blood. Once the body was disposed of, the appearances and illnesses mysteriously stopped. And to this day, the man is known as Alnwick Vampire. Now, the name derived from the medieval chronicler that we mentioned before, William of Newburgh, and he was the one who coined the term bloodsucker to describe the man in his account of the tale. The first recorded use of the word in England. And just before we sign off for tonight's episode, I will throw in another surprise location from England that we haven't, at least I don't think we've mentioned before. I don't think we've mentioned the haunted Hampton Court Palace in any previous episodes, especially one of my more popular episodes where I just focused on the hauntings from England, but I don't think I included the Hampton Court Palace. So if you guys are interested, listen closely. Now, in the Hampton Court Palace, a royal ghost is said to haunt the palace, and is said to be King Henry VIII's wife, Catherine Howard, and she is believed to haunt a specific section of the palace. Legend has it that when Catherine was arrested at the palace, she escaped the guards and ran along the corridor to the Chapel Royal. Believing the king to be in prayer, Catherine screamed for mercy. She was then later executed at the Tower of London. But since then, visitors to the palace have reported strange sensations when walking through the corridor and believe the presence to be Catherine's ghost. The palace is also reportedly home to the ghost of a woman of a former servant by the name of Sybil Penn, who died of smallpox after nursing Elizabeth I when she suffered from the disease. Ghostly activity began in 1829 when her tomb was moved, with visitors reported hearing the whir of a spinning wheel, which was later discovered in a small sealed chamber. And that just about does it for tonight's episode. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight, and I will see you guys in the outro. Thank you guys so much for joining me for tonight's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I think for our next new episode coming soon, we're going to do haunted rock and roll. And that means ghost stories from rock musicians, haunted studios, you name it. I'm really looking forward to that one. But if you guys already don't know, Demimonde Paranormal is a small paranormal group that focuses on all things supernatural, spooky, eerie, and downright creepy and terrifying. We cover all things from witchcraft to Bigfoot to aliens to famous ghost stories and even less famous hauntings. I hope you guys enjoy it. If you do decide to join up on Facebook.com, we'll be glad to have you. All you have to do is answer one question upon entry, and it's pretty simple. All we're asking you is to, you know, follow the rules and be courteous to everybody else's opinions and feelings and whatnot, and we will be glad to have you if you think you can do that. With that being said, I'm Tori from Demimond Paranormal, and I hope you guys, you know, had a good time. You're entertained, you learned something new, and I will see you possibly next week for an all new episode. So with that being said, have a good night, or day, or morning. Be kind to one another, stay safe, make good choices, and I will see you real soon. Until then, toodles. Oh, and as always, stay spooky.